You're listening to Shoreditch Radio. Shoreditchradio.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of The Anoraks on Shoreditch Radio. We're profiling one of the UK's most innovative, exciting and consistently astonishing labels, Ninja Tune.
We'll be looking in depth at the London label that's brought us the likes of Cold Cut, Bonobo, Daedalus and DJ Food in a roster more packed than a rush hour tube train.
We've got brand new, unreleased material from the label and we're pleased to have Ninja Tune artist Grasscut in the studio. We'll kick off with the opener from their album, One Inch Half Mile. This is High Down.
Thank you.
That was Grasscut's High Down, and we're the Anoraks on Shoreditch Radio. I'm in the studio, it's Alex Lawson. I'm here with Tom Bonnet and with Grasscut, Marcus and Andrew in the studio. Fellas, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Are you excited to be participating in our Ninja Tune special?
We are thrilled. We're very excited.
So just to give the listeners a bit of background, and apologies for our fellow Anorak, Alex Bernard. He can't make it today, unfortunately.
Yeah, we think he's either watching the Mercury or the football. We're not quite sure which excuse he's going to come up with tomorrow, but he's not here.
Exactly. It's like a naughty schoolboy. Tom, how have you been since last saw you? It's been a little while now. You were off the show last week. We missed out. You missed our special with Piney Gear.
Yeah, and luckily didn't miss two shows. We were going to have Grasscut on earlier, but then the riots, the looting stopped all of that, so I didn't miss that. Pleased about that. I've been all right. I've been down in Bristol, doing a bit of work for BBC Radio Bristol, actually, and it's been quite strange. I went out, local radio is quite odd, so I went out in the radio car one morning and there were these people doing a piece on ferrets, and we were trying to find their house, and then we saw that it was the house with a white transit van outside with a kind of anarchist logo on it, but saying, "Ferrets have feelings too, don't harm the ferrets." So we went in, and their whole front room was probably about 8 meters by 8 meters, and they were a couple. One of whom was a former soldier in the Falklands, male, but no longer male. And he had a pink long dress on, and so did his wife or carer.
Yes,
had a matching pink dress on. So they were a sort of double axe that looked after ferrets.
They just made a TV programme about these.
They have. Did you see it?
No, I think I saw a trailer. It's just the kind of transsexual thing.
Yeah.
Rings a bell.
Very, very strange.
Yeah, but quite extraordinary.
But really sensitive guy, this soldier, actually. Had quite a... I was looking into his eyes when we were talking about ferrets and how there aren't many ferret homes, and so if they hear of any ferrets anywhere in the country, they just take them in.
Yeah.
And they're just going to run out of space. They're just going to end up with ferrets everywhere.
How many ferrets do they have?
I don't know exactly, but in the front,
roughly.
In the front room.
Oh,
okay. So you're talking 8x8 room, not much bigger than this studio, and they've just got cages all the way along the room, probably three high, with a ferret in a kind of hammock each, and some of them will bite. Some of them are polecats, and you can't look after polecats because they're really dangerous and they can break your fingers off.
Yeah.
So they look after all the polecats that seem to get found. Mm. But also they specialise in albinos because they're white, they get eaten by birds of prey, so they've got loads of albinos as well.
Good fact.
Yeah. So yeah, that's been BBC Radio Bristol.
Sounds like you were ferreting around for a good story there, Tom, that's for sure. Well, anyway, so welcome, as I say, to our Ninja Tune special. Absolutely brilliant label. It was founded in 1990 by the fellows who eventually have formed Colcut, or actually were in Colcut at the time. Marcus, Andrew, lovely to have you on the show. You're Ninja Tune artists yourselves. What do you make of the label? Have you always been fans? I suppose you're going to say yes to that.
I suppose I came to it mid-90s. Not really from the start. I got into it from artists like Blockhead and Amon Tobin. So weirdly, other side, of, you know, Canadian and American artists.
I see.
Blockhead's quite kind of sample-based, sort of hip-hop, but with a lot of kind of strings things going
on
as well.
Yes, a lot of classical samples and odd, the thrift store sort of vibe to what he does. And I really like that. And Tobin was doing a lot of jazzy drum and bass stuff at the time, which was really... Well, hard to do. You know, technology wasn't there at the time, and he was really imaginative. So that's kind of how I got into it.
His production sounds are always pretty amazing as well.
I
definitely have been a fan of some people on the label, in particular Jaga Jazzist, which is a Norwegian kind of 10 or more plus member group,
yes,
who they release over here. Really good. And also, I'm a massive fan of Big Dada, and have been since that launch, which was 10 years or so ago.
Yeah, it's sister label.
The sister label, there's one of their sister labels, and really phenomenal stuff, who put out Roots Maneuver and some of the Wiley stuff, and in fact, have Wiley again after his Rolex major label interlude. So, it's totally delightful to be with them, and they've been People always say this, so it's boring to hear, but they really have been fantastic for us in terms of creative freedom, like some help and guidance, but amazing amount of freedom, really, because with the first album, we had pretty much done it before we... And then we approached them with that.
Did they change much of it?
No.
No, not really. We changed a couple of... Wrote a couple of new tracks, and which, you know, as new tracks do, go on the album, and so a couple of things gave way, but... Literally everything, I think everything bar one song was released in either on the album or was, you know, part of a single.
And the track which they take off, which they suggested taking off, was the one that we also wanted to take off. So it was just amazingly kind of
very
amicable.
It basically worked out pretty well.
So I think they're very good at relating to artists, basically. They're really strong on that.
Well, it sounds like you guys, you know, have become increasingly involved in the label, and we're going to play a remix by you now. This is your remix of Bonobo's "The Keeper."
Thank you.
That was the Grass Cut Bitter Peace remix of Bonobo's track The Keeper with who was the singer on that?
Andrea Triana. Who well, she sings regularly in his band, and he produced and co-wrote her first album, and we've toured quite a lot with Andrea in Europe, which we didn't know at that stage when we got the remix, but yeah, she's a really interesting artist, and the vocal was really what, when Ninja came to us and said, you know, can you do the remix, it was like they thought that, you know, we could do something really interesting production wise with the vocal, because it's such an outstanding performance.
Why is that then? Is it to do with your I don't know, do they like the chords that you use that could go with her voice, or
I think
what?
It was that, and I think it was just a lot of the treatments that I'd done on the Grass Cut record production wise and the EQs, and you know, just making it very you know, some of the textures really, really tactile. I think they thought that Andrea's voice could be affected in a really interesting way, so I kind of changed pretty much the entire backing, but didn't really touch the vocal apart from just playing around with the sound a bit, because it's just such a strong performance.
Yeah, it's an interesting track because it's got a sort of sea-like wave to my ears going through it in an almost a direction that is a bit unusual in the framework of the track. It's,
yeah.
You can hear something else going on there, but it's not.
Yeah, it goes across it quite a bit, yeah.
Mm. So, guys, can we sort of talk a little bit more about Grass Cut and how you came to be, and then ultimately how you came to be on Ninja Tune as well. But when did you guys sort of first meet and start working together?
Well, the origins are sort of hazy in the sense that we've done various things before, but Grass Cut kind of came slowly together in the back of a tour bus, really, on Andrew's laptop as things... So I'd actually say it sort of began after a visit to Meadowhall Shopping Centre.
Oh, in the beautiful
Meadow
town.
Meadowhill Shopping Centre.
Meadowhill.
Sorry, Meadowhill Shopping Centre.
No, because Meadowhill.
Meadowhill. Yeah. Yes, I see what you've done there. Yeah, which was a bit like that. And that was kind of... Because Andrew is writing material all the time, because he does other things outside this, it was kind of slightly uncertain as to quite where Grass Cut began, but I would say it probably was
probably
there.
Began there. Yeah.
It began after visits to Meadowhill, basically. What, and the very
did you meet up in a Costa Coffee there?
We wandered around there.
Oh, I see.
And we were doing a PA in Meadowhall Shopping Centre to... hundreds of screaming children.
Was it Britney Mikes or that?
Screaming
it
in
was
pain.
That kind of thing. And I don't know.
It's like
a revelation that this
us.
Was. And what was weird was that I think it'd been flooded like about 3 weeks
yes,
before.
Yes.
I remember, yeah.
So there was this huge tide mark around the whole place.
And some shops were still empty.
You could feel it was dirty, but it was really showing it, you know. And anyway, we left after the thing and we're in the tour bus, and I just got this whole music thing going, just watching people. You know, buying, rushing around, just being really manic.
Yeah.
Sort of very consumeristic sort of place.
Mm.
And this track came out of it. And then Marcus ended up sending it to Ninja, and
yeah,
they really liked it. And so that sort of started it, really.
What a strange inspiration outside the front of a BHS or whatever.
Yeah.
And so when exactly was that then?
That was, God, 2000 and...
Roughly about 2008, I think. Because I sent that to Ninja Tune then,
yes,
and they said that they liked it, although that actually didn't end up going on the album. And then I sent them another tune a few months later, which was Swallow That Day, which also they liked and also didn't end up going on the album either.
Oh, well, that's good.
But that was kind of the very first stuff that we were doing, yeah. And then, so it took probably about a year of sending them stuff, and then they said, can we... And then I sent them the whole album, which had by that point got finished, and then they said... That's when they got more enthusiastic and were kind of like, can we meet you?
Had you sort of got a connection to them before started sending
No,
them?
Nothing at all, no. Which I think is quite rare.
It's really old-fashioned, you know, sending
which we did it absolutely old-school.
You know, yeah. It's quite unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would think they've got quite a family thing going on. Like, you were talking about Alan Tobin earlier and Roots Manoeuvre, and these acts, sort of 10 years on, are still there getting pushed as hard as any other acts, which makes me think that... They're quite dedicated to the people.
They're extremely dedicated, and they do have a real family. And someone like Fink, who's there, has been very good to us and did a radio edit in one of our tracks for us and things like that. And
excellent.
We played with Bonobo, we played with Fink, we did lots of the Ninja 20 gigs last year. We did the Pompidou Centre with Bonobo and Fink, and we did a gig in Prague with DJ Food, and we did lots of, in fact, some of the tracks that we're playing today appeared on the Ninja 20 massive Behemoth box set that they did.
It's a good point that you make, that obviously a lot of shows and a lot of paper coverage last year focused on this Ninja 20, the 20 years anniversary of Ninja Tune. Here on the Anorax, we like to celebrate the legal age of consent in America for drinking and other such kind of progressions into adulthood by celebrating Ninja Tune on 21 years. So,
yes,
you know, that's
like
obviously
that.
The thinking
continue
of it,
for
you know.
Year.
You
yeah.
know then,
some labels do celebrate their 21st.
Well, I think it's a big day. And how about you guys then? Tell us a little bit more about what you do outside of Grass Cut, maybe.
Well, I do quite a lot of music for film and television.
Mm.
So yeah, that's like a sort of day job in a way. I've been doing it for quite a long time.
Mm.
And it relates to Grass Cut. I think there's a cinematic quality to the music.
Mm.
And some of that comes through, you know, composing stuff and working with orchestras and string sections and stuff.
Yes.
So yeah, I kind of tend to divide my time between the two.
And are there any projects that you're particularly proud of that you've worked in?
There's lots of projects I'm deeply proud of. The one I'm most recently proud of was a film that's just been nominated for a Grierson Award, actually. It's called The Life and Loss of Karen Wu, which is a 90-minute feature doc that I did earlier this year. And that's a really beautiful film.
Excellent.
So, yeah, that was a good one.
Andrew's always, obviously, being modest, but he does do stuff for BBC and HBO and... Yeah, there's a colossal back catalogue of...
This was actually for ITV1, because unbelievable. It's the first thing I've ever done for ITV1, because frankly, it's normally shit.
Yes.
But yeah, they had this new documentary standing. But yeah, the year before that, I did two films for HBO.
And do you know when that might be out?
That's been out. Yeah, that was
broadcast. Oh, excellent.
And it's been out in the States as well. So,
oh, great.
So, yeah.
And turn to you, Mark, as well. What's your...
I sort of scrabble around on the twin sinking ships that are the music industry and the media, basically. doing bits of radio, bits of writing.
Hmm.
It's quite a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
Bits of journalism, I'm writing a book.
Yeah.
We're hanging in there.
Yeah.
It's kind of a strange time, I think, for both those industries, but it's quite exciting too.
We're working. A bit nerdy about kind of the media's interpretation of the music industry on this show, and yeah, I'd love to hear your kind of opinions on whether you think that, you know,
what's happening to the music industry,
you know. Yeah, just, you know, what's happening in music. 10
well,
seconds.
God, yes. Well, what has been really interesting is I think actually the music industry went through a crisis point earlier than some other creative-based industries did because of MP3 technology.
Yes.
It's so easy to compress in a way that, that was before the Kindle, obviously. The same thing you couldn't do with films because the file sizes are bigger. So actually the industry around music had a crisis much earlier than the others, and they've all got this hell to come, all the other creative industries. And actually the music industry, whether you think the future is going to be live or whether you think it's going to be subscription-based models along the kind of Spotify kind of way, though, let's be honest, all the artists need to get a lot more money out of Spotify if that's going to be significant for us. But, in a way, I think it's actually quite a good time for music. It's changed a lot, obviously, but... Yeah, I think it's not as bleak as maybe 5 years ago it looked. Legal downloads are up, there's lots of, you know, exciting things.
Sure,
but that's a very sensible answer, I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And I think it's a point that we'll probably pick up the other side of this. We're actually going to go down the yellow brick road for this one. This is Grass Cut's The Tin Man.
Thank you.
That was The Tin Man by Grasscut. You're listening to The Anoraks on Shoreditch Radio with Tom Bonnet, Alex Lawson, but sadly not Alex Bernard this show. But we have got Grasscut in the studio. And before that track there, we were just chatting about the music industry. We're getting very anoraky and going into business details of it. You were saying that it's not as bleak as it seems, but it is quite difficult. I mean, you guys both work outside of, as well as Grasscut. I mean, what's it like being in Grasscut when you kind of have other jobs? Do you feel like you're kind of, is it like the tales of the rock and roll band that you see when you go on tour, or are you guys quite chilled out?
Tom's saying, do you throw tellies out of windows, I think.
It's feral.
No, I think Grasscut is the way we want it. I mean, I think it's really... For me, as a composer, it's kind of the things I don't get to do in film and TV. So it's a chance to sort of flex my muscles. And frankly, a lot of it is us having a lot of fun and just talking about ideas that we're interested in. And honestly, it isn't typical Ninja Tune stuff. You know, I mean, we don't naturally fit on the label. You know, we're nothing like a lot of the other acts. But so I don't think we... I think what comes first for us is doing what we want to do and doing something different, doing something experimental. And, you know, if success comes with that or a living comes with that, fantastic. I think that's the way round we'd want it. I don't think we'd be going, like, let's make a track that's going to make a ton of cash. It's just not the way we approach music at all.
You've got quite, in your videos, there's quite a sort of visual element to it. I could imagine it, that you have visual displays when you play the song.
Yeah, we do that live, yeah. Where we can, especially on bigger stages, we do that.
Get people in to make that for you, or is that something that you knock up?
Yeah, there's a company called... Well, Andrew... Andrew did begin knocking up those. But we did get a very good company called As Described. Adam and Jim from As Described did lots of brilliant videos for us. We went out and had a right laugh walking into the sea and being... very sort of silly around Central Brighton in the middle of the night, nearly dying several times. They're brilliant. They're brilliant, and we're definitely planning on doing more.
Run over by
jet
skis, or
actually lying down in a central reservation on the A23, which is
excellent road.
And walking into the sea with stones in our pockets backwards in the middle of the night, also probably ill-advised, but in the name of art.
This sounds very Shakespearean.
Well, otherwise,
only so that they could reverse the film as though we would appear to walk back forwards out of the sea, getting drier as we came out, which is how it turned out.
And I believe that we discussed this after your gig at the Vortex, because I just sat there. You know, when you just have a moment where a band plays a song on stage and it's just the perfect experience, and that was it. You know, such a great video, and do check it out. I'm sure it's online somewhere.
It's all on YouTube.
Yeah, it's all on YouTube these days. I guess one thing to discuss is what's next for Grasscut. I mean, I presume you were pleased with the reception that the first album got, and have you begun work on the second?
Absolutely thrilled with it. I mean, it was great and really heartening. You know, that a lot of people, I mean, the vast majority of kind of critics in the press took it as we intended it, which you know, pretty much all you can hope for.
Yeah.
Done a lot of work on the second one. So, I don't know, 60-70% there.
Yeah.
Getting there.
Excellent.
It's quite hard.
Is it a similar sound? What can we expect?
Yes, it's a similar sound, but it's a slightly more generous sound. It's a move on, definitely a move on as well. So trying to push ourselves to do some new things.
Sure.
And we're working with a new drummer, live drummer.
Oh, right.
Who's also playing on the record. So that's going to affect the live sound that we've done as well. So.
How does that affect your kind of writing, recording process? Is it a big consideration?
Yes, it is, because I think with the first album it was very much a studio album, and then we took it out live.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of fun with it, but I think we've found at times that you know, if there's two of you and you're triggering everything or playing as much as you can, but a lot of the beats are triggered electronically.
Yeah.
Your dynamics kind of stay fairly, you know, they can only expand so much, but when you've got a drum on stage, you can just bust it wide open and really go a little bit further. So
is he going to trigger samples as well?
He's going to trigger samples as well, so he's kind of moving between live drums and triggering samples off a pad, so he's basically taking over the beats, and then it frees us up to do other things.
We should say, for anyone who hasn't seen Grass Cut live, what we do is I basically play double bass and keys, and Andrew sings, plays a bit of guitar most of the sets, if we can get a guitar there. Does lots of sort of live mixing and Ableton kind of things, and some keyboards. So we're doing as much as we can for two, but it's quite difficult. Obviously, you can't do it all.
To deliver that all live, which is what, you know, people often say, of people who use laptops on stage, it's quite hard to see what people are doing, of course. You said that you feel like you have a slightly different sound to a lot of the ninja artists. Does that make it difficult when you're playing those big ninja gigs and there's a quite dancey lineup?
It's been interesting. I mean, we don't... What I think a ninja is evolving anyway, as a label, and also there's some stuff we do have in common with them in terms of the quite a lot of sort of cut and paste kind of approach that we do have. But
control C,
and you know, there's quite, if you, the people who run Ninja Tune are very happy talking about, you know, it's not just head nodding hip hop that they want to talk about. You know, sitting around talking about Pentangle and stuff as well.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, yes, we're probably not as kind of compared to, say, someone like DJ Food or something, who's just absolutely amazing at making people dance and be, you know, he's an amazing party DJ and very skillful and very artful at that.
Yes,
we're not like that. We don't leave everyone as happy as someone like that, because we keep giving things and taking them away again. That's and being sort of willfully perverse.
Having said that, we did do a riotous gig with him in Budapest.
That's true.
Which was brilliant.
And he's a very good egg, dear.
He's a very good egg.
Yeah. And also, check out his mix to accompany Paul Morley's book.
Oh, really?
Because it's serious, yeah.
Well, there's a little tip for you. Thanks for that, Graska. We're going to play a tune and be right back after this. Thank you. That was the Grasscut remix of Yagi Yasis's Toccata. And this means it's real fake, this sound. Just off air there, Tom was mentioning that he had a great chat about Norwegian service stations. Tom, quite a line there. What exactly was going on?
So, we were just chatting about the fact that Yagi Yasis is from Norway. And basically, I had a great chat with somebody who was a canoeist that was training people in Norway. And he was saying that the country was very, very poor. This is the short version. And then found oil. Service stations became almost church-like, and people go there for kind of their Sunday afternoon dinners and that sort of thing. So I said, you know, does this mean that they look a bit nicer than average service stations? They just go there anyway, drink tea,
Brilliant. Well, Little Chef is indeed my church, I've always felt. That music, it means it's time for Real Fake. To explain to Grasscut, are you going to take on Tom in this game? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
To explain the rules, I'm stepping in for regular quizmaster Alex Byrne on this one, but as he always says, there's three stories.
He doesn't always say that. He always says, I'm not going to tell you the rules, but there's three stories.
Two of which are real, one of which is fake. You got to guess the fake one. It's essentially Call My Bluff, the 90s quiz show, put into radio form. I won't take any longer, so we're just going to read a little bit of a blurb about each story. So, first one is, a man in the Californian city of Sacramento has been accused of biting a pet snake, leaving the python seriously hurt, police say. Police were called to the northern part of the city on Thursday evening, expecting to respond to an assault. That's story one, man bites python. Story two, in Bavaria. Fugitive German cow Yvonne gives herself up. A cow called Yvonne, who made headlines in Germany, has given herself up after 3 months on the run. Yvonne escaped from a farm in Bavaria just before she had been sent for slaughter. Efforts to recapture her failed as she roamed free in the forests.
I like this game.
So that's the second story.
Rudy Tactics is Yvonne a Bavarian name. Shouldn't give you any help, actually, should I?
You never know. Somebody could have married a French woman.
And story three. Government hands private investors opportunity to buy poor people. The government has revealed that it intends to transfer ownership of poor people from the public sector into private ownerships with the introduction of social impact bonds. I'll leave it there. Okay, so as you ponder that, we always like to play you a bit of a cover version to decide whether you think that the cover version is a really good or a bit of a fake or a phony. So this is absolutely glorious. This is Jackie Opel's version of Sam Cooke's "You Send Me." Honest you do.
lasted so long. And then I found myself wanting to marry you and take you home. I know you send me. I know that you and you alone send me. Baby, you and you alone send me. Honest, I said honest you do. I said honest, I said you. I know you send me, baby, nobody but you. I said you send me, girl. I said, yeah. I said, there's nobody but you. Are you one of you alone? Save me. I said, oh, send me a baby.
That was Jackie Opel covering Sam Cooke's You Send Me on the Anoraks on Shoreditch Radio. I'm back in the studio. We're just about to find out the answers to Real Fake. I'm here with Tom Bonnet and Grasscut. Grasscut, would you prefer to play as a team or individually?
Well, I think we think the same, so we may as well be a team.
Oh, OK. So they're playing as a team against Tom. I like that. So just to recap the fake stories
we've
got.
Is that unfair? Is that acceptable?
That's perfectly fine. You're absolutely fine. So we've got the man who bit the python.
I don't get saying this. We've got Quizmaster.
Yeah, I'm stepping in. I'm loving the control, to be honest. It's a massive power trip for this, Tom. I've built up my entire life to this moment. And then we've got the fugitive cow, and we've got the government trying to buy poor people. I'm going to throw to guess first. So, Grasscut.
Whether or not it's actually true.
It's got to be two. So, yeah, the fugitive cow.
The best story.
Whoever made that up is a genius, but it's made up. Surely
it's made up. Tom, you're going to have to go for another one. I mean, what were you thinking? Were you going to go for that anyway? You're not allowed, but...
See, the second two, I think, are just genius sort of turnarounds and great intros. So, you know, Cal comes back, journalist feels inspired and thinks, hang on a minute, Cal gives herself up, calls it Yvonne, probably not called Yvonne, but a bit of journalistic licence. Probably true somewhere down the line. Third one, again, I'm thinking, I bet there is some sort of scheme, but that's kind of a bit of a Daily Onion style spinning it around. So I'm going to go with number one.
You're going to go with number one? The guy eating a snake. I've won. It's number three. This never happens. The Quizmaster never wins. Yes, so it's actually the government hands private investors opportunity to buy poor people. The government seemingly harbouring the assumption that all taxpayers are as jealous as those living in poverty as they are delighted about spunking billions, billions up the wall on this month's overseas conflict. A trial scheme is to be set up to privatise families blighted by crime and poverty. There was a lovely quote here from Civil Society Minister Nick Hurd, who said he had a warm feeling of superiority about it. I think there's some feeling that you'd like to hear about the cow as well, especially given now you know that is in fact true.
Because the third one seems so ludicrous that you think it must be true. Only a madman would have made it up.
But in fact, yes. Must have made it up.
Which madman did make it up?
Yes, exactly. Well, I think you can probably guess that. But so Yvonne the cow, yeah, apparently she ran away and the sanctuary paid €700 to take Yvonne off their hands. Yvonne ran off away from the slaughterhouse and then she's been found. And then, as I say, this sanctuary is now... has now bought her so she can't be killed. She's obviously the new Eric the Eel. Oh no, he was a man. The Octopus. What was
the
name
Paul
of
the Octopus?
Thank you.
She's not psychic.
Thank you,
though.
Tom. No, not
That's
psychic.
A shame.
But one hell of a cow.
And
as you say, Yvonne, an unlikely German name.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's time for some more ninja classics. And in fact, this is one kind of mix between Big Dada and Ninja. This is the Steinsky remix that appeared on DJ Food and DK's brilliant compilation. Now listen again of Roots Maneuver's classic Witness.
Can I get a witness?
That was the end of Steinsky's remix of Witness Fitness by Roots Maneuver. Going into the mix there as that we ripped that track out of DJ Food and DK's mix. Now listen again. If you want to hear that mix properly, check out that CD. It's wicked. I bought it for my fellow Anorak, in fact. So we have big thanks to Grasscut for coming into the studio. We let them leave because they were embarrassed after going for Yvonne. Not really, no. They weren't embarrassed, but we let them get out so that we could get on to from London, Brighton, to the other side of the world to see what Cyril has to say.
Dear Anoraks, I'm still enjoying life in Canada and took a motorbike and sidecar lift from a passing raccoon salesman. Arrived in Toronto on Wednesday in time to promote my new book, Cyril, Around the World on 50 Pence, live on Michael Corran's show. Corran gave me a bit of a grilling in the end, questioning why I'm selling a picture book at $23.99 RRP. But I think he liked it really, and I've emailed Richard and Judy to demand they make it their book of the century. Toronto is proving lovely and lively. That CN Tower is almost as impressive as the new pylon in my beloved Scunthorpe. Ran into former Ninja Tune DJ Vaughan Robert Squire, aka 6-2, who asked me to send over this remix of Lally Pooner's Small Things. Hope you think it's snazzier than a pair of Christmas socks. Cheers, lads. Adventuring Anorak, Cyril.
Good old Cyril, our adventuring Anorak there. So let's have a listen to the CD that he sent over. This is Lally Pooner's Small Things, the 6-2 remix.
Big mistakes, biggest hurt. My heart passed behind glass. Great divide, great deceit. The whole past on my heart. Remember the smile.
Thank you.
good good old send over from Cyril there. Thanks. He's plotting that musical map of the world quite well. But he's done Canada now. I think he should probably move on. This has been a brilliant show. Tom, absolute banger. Grasscut, great. Ninja Tune, what a label.
Yeah.
Can't recommend them highly enough. Their website, ninjatune.net. I think you can get all the updates on there.
It's a butterfly net of goodness, that website. we've got... it's just packed full of loads of videos of the tracks that they've got. You can download the stuff from their website. Cracking guys, I thought, Grasscut. We had them talking about a lot more depth than just music, which I like from a guest on the show.
Yeah, I think that they're really interesting people, and I think that it takes really interesting people to make such great music. So I wish them all the best. Talking of nerdy online things, you can tweet us at AnoraxSDR. You can find us on the Facebook page. Check out Shoreditch Radio. It's such a great station. You can email your suggestions in any music if you'd like us to play it at theanorax@shoreditchradio.co.uk. We'll wrap our nerdy logos around it. It only remains for us to say thank you for listening, and goodbye from me, Alex Lawson.
Goodbye from me, Tom Bonnet.
And that's a wrap.
Hang on. Say and that,
I've got it. And this is brand new and unreleased from Ninja Tune. Big ups to James Heather and Jamie Collinson there, who are amazing and sent us some great music. This is one for our station manager. This is Dells with Capsize.
Wait. It's time to stand up. It's time to be counted. Oi, dear boy. It's running the air. No fool. No horses.
What's up?
They're asleep in the belly of the beast, living in a dream in their own fantasy. Smothered by their mothers and oppressed for a pillow. Desensitized, no minds, hello. Can you hear me? It's a transmission, fellow. Live feed. I hope you haven't eaten, do you mind these? Projectile thoughts for the main course. Possessed by the force deep inside thee. They support blades like freshly cut grass. Another child dies, no longer this loss. Ain't nothing changed since Britain turned blue. Set more cuts, more problems, more. Looks like that we're all fucked, no loop. A Cameron, better steer clear of my arse. Kick down the doors of Parliament for the truth. And have a word with the PM
at ours. As they are so treacherous, we need to stick together. And now the nights are closing in, we need to stick together. Where is the heart and soul? We need to come together. When the youths are so damn cold, we need to stick together.
For the disenfranchised, man child really don't seem to learn. Got enough to talk about the guns on the street when the guns come cheap from the factories. The factory, they don't check those facts, or they blame and they make scapegoats of the blacks, or anybody else who's fresh off the boat, or everybody else who don't wish the boat, or the moderate blues with design of views. The red top readership holds the clues to who's got the money for the PR scams to pull the wool over the eyes of the everyday man. How many fresh-faced youths were they sent to war without clear definition of what they're fighting for? So what came first, the addiction or the drugs? Modern-day fuckery and pinstripe bugs.
Times, they are so treacherous, we need to stick together. And now the nights are closing in, we need to stick together. Where is the heart and soul? We need to come together. And when the youths are so damn cold, we need to stick together. Times they are so treacherous, we need to stick together. And now the nights are closing in, we need to stick together. And where is the heart and soul? We need to come together. And when the youths are so damn cold, we need to stick together.
Thank you.